Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks of Fitness, episode number 50. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, before we begin with today's guest, Tracy McGirter, a public health nutritionist, author, and lecturer, I want to let you know how you can help Body Sculpt of New York make a difference in a child's life. In preparation for our 12th annual Children's Sports and Fitness Expo, Body Sculpt of New York has launched its first fundraising campaign of the year on the crowdfunding platform Indiegogo.com. The fundraising campaign began on Tuesday, February 24th, and will end on Friday, April 24th. Will you join us in our movement to help children and their families to improve their health by making a donation towards our campaign? No amount is too small. All donations are totally tax deductible and will go towards our Children's Sports and Fitness Expo, which will take place on Saturday, June 27th in Brooklyn, New York. To show our gratitude for your donation, I have listed a number of perks on the Indiegogo website in exchange for your support. Our fundraising goal is $15,000, which will go towards covering the cost for our instructors, equipment, t-shirts, breakfast, and lunch for our volunteers. Over 3,000 families are expected to be in attendance. Will you help us reach our goal? Please go to Indiegogo, which is spelled Indiegogo.com, and type in Children's Sports and Fitness Expo. We are counting on your support. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by Tracy McGirter, a public health nutritionist, lecturer, and author of By Any Greens Necessary, a revolutionary guide for Black women who want to eat great, get healthy, lose weight, and look fat. And when I say fat, that's P-H-A-T. Now, during the interview, Tracy will discuss the many health benefits of eating a plant-based diet, including the prevention and reversing of chronic diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, and more. Tracy also admits to not liking vegetables as a child and credits her mom for instilling in her the importance of eating vegetables and the civil rights activist Dick Gregory for a lecture he gave while Tracy attended Amherst College. Dick Gregory was scheduled to give a lecture on the state of Black America, but instead chose to speak about the plate of Black America and how unhealthily most of us eat. This was an aha moment for Tracy, which started her on her personal journey to eating healthy and becoming a vegan. Also during the interview, Tracy will dispel some of the myths that's associated with eating vegan and provide proof as to why vegan is the healthiest way to improve your health, lose weight, prevent, and cure chronic diseases. Tracy will also give advice on how to gradually start eating vegan and how most of us already do eat something vegan and don't even realize it. You can find out more about Tracy by visiting her website at byanygreensnecessary.com. You will find a wealth of information on her website, along with food recipes and much more. Now remember the words of Mahatma Gandhi, who said, "Power is of two kinds. One is obtained by the fear of punishment, and the other by acts of love. Power based on love is 1,000 times more effective and permanent than the one derived from fear of punishment." And now that's worth thinking about.
Welcome back to 6 Weeks of Fitness. A vegan trailblazer, public health nutritionist, author, lecturer, and 30-year vegan, Tracy McGirter has been named by the Vegetarian Times a national food hero who is changing the way America eats for the better. And her national bestseller, By Any Greens Necessary, was the number one recommended vegan book on the Huffington Post. Tracy served as program director of the nation's first federally funded vegan nutrition program, the Vegetarian Society of D.C. Eat Smart program, and has been teaching vegan nutrition seminars for more than 25 years. Tracy also co-founded one of the first vegan websites 17 years ago, and the first ever vegan website by and for African Americans. She is a national authority on preventing and reversing chronic diseases in African American women using plant-based nutrition, and has been credited in part with increasing the number of African American vegans and vegetarians to nearly 3 million people. Tracy also served as a policy advisor for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, helping to create the strategy for a groundbreaking lawsuit proving food industry bias in the formation of the U.S. Dietary Guidelines. Tracy is passionate about helping people live healthier, happier lives. She has a master's degree in public health nutrition from New York University and a bachelor's degree from Amherst College. I am very pleased to have Tracy on our 6 Weeks of Fitness program. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Vince. I'm really happy to be on your show.
Wow. Well, you have a very impressive bio, Tracy. I'm so happy that you are taking the time to share your expertise with me and my listeners.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And thank you for reading. That was quite a mouthful. Thank you for reading all of that. I appreciate it.
Well, it doesn't really do you justice, I'm sure. But before we talk about your book, By Any Greens Necessary, A Revolutionary Guide for Black Women Who Want to Eat Healthy, Get Healthy, Lose Weight, and Look Fat, PHAT, let's talk about you, Tracy. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Washington, D.C. I'm born and raised in D.C.
Wow. Okay. Did you come from a large family?
A large extended family, yes. My mother is one of 14, and most of them, my cousins, my aunts and uncles, my second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins are in this area. So my extended family is very large. My immediate family, I have two older sisters, so there are three girls, yeah.
Okay, are they vegan like you?
My middle sister, Maria, is vegan. Her daughter, who is 9, Mara, is vegan, and my mother is vegan. So we all went vegan together.
Wow.
About 28 years ago. And my older sister, Veronica, and her family are not vegan, and they are very, very supportive of all of the work that I do.
Wow, very, very nice. A family affair, sounds
mm-hmm.
like, huh?
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, having each other as support has made, you know, the world of difference, for sure.
So when did you first realize the importance of eating healthy?
Well, my mother actually was a pretty healthy eater. I mean, we ate the standard American diet, but, you know, I'm 48 years old. I'll be 49 this year. So when I was growing up in the late 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, we didn't go to McDonald's every day. We went out to eat maybe once a week. And all of the food for the rest of the week was cooked at home and cooked from scratch primarily. So we were eating much more healthily than families eat today because of all of this industrialized processed food that's been so cheap and readily available these last couple of decades. And we didn't have a cookie jar. We only had dessert once a week. And we had skim milk and whole wheat bread and total cereal. So my mother was pretty conscious about eating, and I actually hated it.
Really?
Yeah, I hated vegetables. I hated healthy food. And I had an aunt whose house we would go over, and she let us eat anything and everything pretty much. I'm sure she was much more conscious, but for me, as I remember it growing up, it was such a contrast to what I was eating at home. So when I was away from home, I just ate really unhealthily, you know, despite my mother's best efforts. And I particularly hated vegetables. I mean, I would sit at the table for an hour or two most nights, you know, because I just didn't want to eat my vegetables until my mother forced me to eat them.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's why I say that if I could become a vegan and a plant-based nutritionist at that, anybody can do it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Now, okay, so your mom, you credit with being your role model.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, absolutely. She definitely planted those early seeds, you know, in my subconscious. And it was actually when I was a sophomore at Amherst College, our Black Student Union brought Dick Gregory to campus to talk about the state of Black America. And instead, he talked about the plight of Black America and how unhealthily most folks eat. And so he graphically traced the path of a hamburger from a cow on a factory farm through the slaughterhouse process to a fast food restaurant to a clogged artery to a heart attack, and very graphically. And that lecture was really what changed my life. Based on that, I decided to find out if what he was saying was true. So he was really the catalyst for me to become vegetarian and then to go vegan.
Wow. So you credit Dick Gregory with changing your way of eating.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you initially a vegetarian before you switched over to vegan?
Yes, I was a vegetarian first. So after I heard that lecture, I immediately gave up hamburgers and hot dogs for a week, and then thought he was crazy, but couldn't get what he said out of my mind. So I started to read everything I could about vegetarianism. And this is 1986, so there was not that much as compared to today, of course. And so my mother and my sister read all of that information with me the following summer, and we decided to become vegetarian. And I didn't go, it took me a while to go vegan because I was addicted to cheese. So I knew that cheese was unhealthy, but I was not ready to let it go. And that was the challenge for me.
Wow, that's interesting. Very interesting. But once you decided to let it go, your whole life changed.
My whole life changed. Even as a vegetarian, you know, my life completely changed because, you know, my freshman year in college, I gained 25 pounds. Like, there's freshman 15, I gained freshman 25, and I was still gaining weight. So just, and eating very unhealthily. And so just going vegetarian was huge for me, and I lost all of that weight effortlessly. And I want to stress that my junior year, I was away from Amherst, and the second semester I went to Howard University, so I was back home in D.C., and I discovered that there was this large Black vegan community that had started the first all-vegan health food stores and cafes in Washington, D.C. So
really?
In the late 80s. So I immersed myself in this community and took cooking classes, learned how to shop, grocery shop, learned how to make it affordable, how to make it delicious. My mother and I did this together. And so it was from this community that I actually learned practically how to make veganism work. And so I was immersed for 9 months in this community before I went back to Amherst for my senior year. So again, I knew what to do, how to cook for myself, and I knew cheese was unhealthy. So I knew I was going to let it go, you know, eventually.
What is the main difference from being a vegetarian to switching over to vegan? I'm sorry, the type of food that you eat as a vegan as opposed to the type of food you're eating as a vegetarian?
Well, the main difference is that vegetarians can still eat, you know, so meat, so vegetarians and vegans eat no meat, no animal flesh, right? But vegetarians may still consume eggs or milk, cheese, dairy, ice cream, these kinds of things. So animal products, not necessarily meat. Vegans, on the other hand, eat nothing that comes from an animal. So no dairy, no eggs, no milk, in addition to no meat. And so we have similar foods. So, for example, if we're going to have pancakes, if we're going to have cheese, if we're going to have pancakes, if we're going to have cheesecake, if we're going to have pizza, if we're going to have lasagna, if we're going to have burritos, they're going to be made from plant-based ingredients, so plant-based cheeses, plant-based milk, plant-based substitutes for eggs. So the foods are very familiar, the ingredients are just different.
Wow. Okay. Now that's a distinct difference, though. So it's all about the type of food you're eating, because now your foods will come from a plant-based
right.
food.
All of the food comes from plants, and no foods come from animals when you're a vegan. And the reason is that plant-based foods have zero cholesterol and are, you know, and are full of fiber. Meat and dairy are full of cholesterol and have zero fiber. And cholesterol and saturated fat are the things that clog your arteries that can lead to heart attack or stroke. And, you know, heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. So when you switch over to plant-based foods, you're getting very little saturated fat. If you're eating a healthy, whole plant-based diet, you're getting zero cholesterol, and you're getting all of the fiber. So that's the primary reason why plant-based foods are healthier. So we don't have to get, you know, people get kind of bogged down or scared of the term vegan, but simply we're just talking about foods that have lots of fiber, lots of other nutrients, and have zero cholesterol, very low in saturated fat, and that's why they're so healthy.
Now, was it hard for you to switch over to being a vegan?
Yes, it was hard for me to make the transition, period, from vegetarian. That was the hardest transition. And then, you know, going from vegetarian to vegan was purely mind over matter, letting go of the cheese. I had to read about how unhealthily cheese is and decide that the momentary pleasure of a piece of cheese in my mouth was not worth the health risk. Because cheese is one of the largest sources of saturated fat in the diet. And if that clogs your arteries, you know, that can lead to chronic disease, early death. So that was purely mind over matter for me. The transition from omnivore to vegetarian was very difficult in the beginning.
Yes.
And, you know, at that time, there was no Whole Foods. There was no internet, right? So I decided, based on my reading, my own research, lots and lots of reading, that this was the healthiest way to eat. And so I was going to eat this way. So I just was like, okay, I've made this decision, so I'm just going to figure out how to do it. But, you know, I was stepping into the unknown, but I knew it was healthiest. So that's why I tell people now it's so much easier, because you can look around, and as an omnivore, you can go ahead and sample vegan foods at most restaurants. You can go to Whole Foods. You know, there's so much. You can go online and Google recipes, vegan recipes, and try them. But back in my time, 30 years ago, you couldn't do that. And so you were kind of stepping into the unknown. And you were, unless there was a community around you, or you had to find the community. So that's why it was much more challenging for me. But even with that, I knew that I was going to do it, because I knew that it was healthier, and it was just a matter of figuring out how to do it.
Okay, so if someone were to say to you, Tracy, I want to become a vegan, what steps would you advise them to take?
Well, the first thing that I would advise people to do is recognize that they already eat vegan food, so that this becomes more familiar with them, to them, and less daunting. So if you eat apples, if you eat fruit, you eat vegan. If you eat vegetables,
sure,
you eat vegan. If you eat grains, you eat vegan. So there's already a substantial portion of your diet that's already vegan. So this is not something that's so foreign to you. Second, I suggest that people add rather than take away. So start adding more leafy greens to your plate at least twice a day, and that can be kale or collards or spinach, Swiss chard, any kind, you know, it can be broccoli, it can be corn, any kind of green leafy vegetable or vegetable period that you like. Start adding that and make it a third to a half of your plate for lunch and dinner. The second thing I suggest that people do is start to have smoothies, either 3 times a week or 5 times a week or 7 times a week. Have it in the morning and have a fruit smoothie, and then add a leaf of kale or spinach, fresh or a half a cup of frozen kale or spinach to it, so you get your vegetables that way. So just start adding. And then if you're eating, if you're someone who likes rice, then swap it out for brown rice. If you're someone who likes pasta, swap it out for pasta made from whole wheat or from corn or from quinoa. If you're someone who likes bread, swap it out for a whole grain bread. It can be rye, it can be spelt, it can be whole wheat. If you're someone who likes to bake muffins and cookies, swap out the white flour for whole grain flour. And you can get recipes from my book. You can go online. There are lots of recipes available. So just start adding and switching out. That's the first thing. And you can start doing that right away without feeling that you're taking away something. And then the other thing is to read. As an omnivore, just start reading about healthier plant-based foods, why people do it, why you might want to consider doing it. So take all these steps now as an omnivore. You don't have to go cold turkey if you don't want to.
Excellent advice. Now, some will say that there are benefits to eating meat that you can't get from a vegan lifestyle, like getting a sufficient amount of protein. What do you say to those people?
Well, the first thing, I have a whole chapter called Where Do You Get Your Protein Myths in my book. And this is the number one question that vegans ask. And I should have given myself $1 for every time someone asked me. I could have a trip to Hawaii every year, right, for myself. So the first thing is that protein, so the largest study ever done on vegans and vegetarians came out recently, and it showed that vegans, vegetarians, and omnivores all get 70% more protein than the recommended daily allowance, all of us. So protein
really
is not an issue. And you can find this study on my blog, or you can go to my favorite nutrition website on the planet besides mine, which is called nutritionfacts.org, and just pull up this study on vegans and protein. So it is a myth that you can't get protein. Protein is, we get it from the same place that the cows get it if they're allowed to eat naturally, which is grass, which is plant-based foods, right? So we're getting it, if you're an omnivore, you're getting it secondhand anyway. So you don't need to eat the cow, eat what the cow eats. So plant-based foods. And you can get it from beans, from nuts, from seeds, even fruits and vegetables have protein and whole grains as well. So it's not an issue at all.
Wow, very good information. Really, really important. Now, are we talking organic or non-organic foods when we're talking about eating vegan?
Well, if you're able to eat organic, and you know, obviously that's best. And if you're able to afford it and it's available, it's convenient, then by all means do that, because that means that you're not ingesting poisonous, harmful pesticides, right? But if you're not able to do that, then, you know, that should not stop you from eating fresh fruits and vegetables. And there is actually the blog that I just sent out today on my website, By Any Greens Necessary, is all about when you should buy organic or not. So I encourage people to go to my website and check it out. But the bottom line is, there's an organization called the Environmental Working Group that every year puts out a list of the least sprayed fruits and vegetables and the most sprayed fruits and vegetables, and you can download this list for free. So the least sprayed fruits and vegetables are the ones that are safe to buy non-organic, because they're rarely sprayed, right? So technically they are organic, but they don't have that high organic price tag.
Ah, very good. But how can you tell the difference between organic and non-organic just by looking at the food? How can you tell?
Well, usually there's a sticker on, you know, like there'll be in a bin that says organic, right? And then each individual piece of fruit will have a sticker that begins with the number 9. And that is the way to tell that it's organic. If it's a bunch of vegetables, you know, the tie itself will say it. We'll say organic, or the label on the tie will tell you
right
that it's organic. But, you know, obviously you can grow your own as well.
Oh, okay, great. Which is, I think, the best way if you have a garden, right?
That's absolutely the best way. Grow your own. The second is to go to a local farmer's market and get to know your farmers who are growing their organic fruits and vegetables and ask if you can come visit their farm. Just talk to them about the process. My family's definitely done that. And then, you know, go to a store and buy fresh and prep, and hopefully they will be getting their produce from local farmers. And then next is frozen. Right, organic frozen.
Now, I want to ask you another question here that I don't normally ask vegans, but is it possible to be a vegan and still be obese?
Of course, absolutely. Coke is vegan. Oreo cookies are vegan. I mean, there are lots. There, potato chips are vegan. Alcohol is vegan. There's lots of just because it's vegan does not mean that it's healthy. And yes, you can overeat as a vegan. Absolutely. And I think it's an excellent question because people should not assume that just because something says vegan that it is healthy. And what's happening then is that because veganism is more and more people are wanting to eat this way or at least wanting to learn more about eating this way, there are all these products that are flooding the market that are vegan but are not healthy. They're loaded with fat, salt, and sugar and white flour products. And they're not healthy, but they are labeled vegan.
Really?
And then you've got some folks who are vegan, not necessarily for health reasons, but for environmental reasons and animal rights reasons, which are all wonderful reasons. But sometimes folks will not be concerned about their personal health. They'll just be vegan. They'll just not eat animals, or they'll just not harm the environment, but they may be less concerned about their own personal health. And so they may tend to eat less healthy vegan food. That's a nuance within veganism itself, so it's an excellent question. So that's why, actually, I stress eating a healthy, whole plant-based diet.
Okay, does that, by eating that particular way, does that limit the amount of carbohydrates that are in your diet?
Well, no, because carbs are in carbs are in fruits and vegetables. And our brain runs on carbs, so we actually need carbs. That this whole carb craze, there's so you naturally are going to get carbohydrates in the plant-based foods, all plant-based foods that you eat. They're what we call like white flour or white bread, white rice, white pasta. We call those carbs, but carbs are in them. So, that's actually not correct. So we do want to limit white flour, white bread, white rice, white pasta, that kind of thing, and eat whole grains. Right, we want to get our carbs from whole grain. So there's nothing wrong with that, and getting our carbs from fruits and vegetables and beans and nuts.
Right. So there's such a thing as good carbs and bad carbs, correct?
Absolutely. Good carbs and bad carbs, yes. And sugar, white table sugar, is a carb, right? That has carbohydrates in it. I consider that one of the bad carbs, one of the refined carbohydrates that we don't want to use, just like white flour and white sugar. And it's not benign. You know, when you eat white bread and white rice and white pasta and white flour products, white table sugar, it is actually harmful. It's not neutral, and it can increase your risk for chronic disease as meat and dairy does. So it's really, really important that people understand the difference between good carbs and bad carbs. You want to eat whole grains, not refined.
Excellent, excellent. But now let's talk a little about your book, By Any Greens Necessary, A Revolutionary Guide for Black Women Who Want to Eat Healthy, Eat Great, Get Healthy, Lose Weight, and Look Fat. Now, what was the impetus for that book?
Well, I wanted to write a book that first of all, I love writing. It's closest to my heart. And if I could just write books for the rest of my life and get paid handsomely for it, beautifully for it, I'm working on that. so I love to write, and I wanted to write an excellent long-written book about veganism that targeted Black women because it had not been done before in this way. And I'm a Black woman. I'm a nutritionist. I've been vegan a long time, been teaching veganism a long time. So I thought I was the perfect person to write this type of book as my first book. And, you know, Black women are fabulous, of course, and we happen to have the worst health outcomes of all demographics in this country. And so we need to be targeted when it comes to disinformation. So that all of that was the impetus for the book. And I wanted a title that represented urgency and Blackness and that was also clever and memorable.
By eating vegan, mm-hmm. you personally believe, and I think studies bear out, that you can dramatically reduce the effects of chronic disease in your life. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, yeah, worldwide studies prove this for the last 50 years. I mean, you can basically make yourself heart attack proof if you eat a healthy, whole plant-based diet. So there are Black people in particular, there are 150,000 deaths from heart disease every year, preventable deaths from diet, right? So we've got, you know, we're protesting about Ferguson and tragic deaths, loss of life like that. And that is about, there are about 300 of those every year. And we've got 300,000 preventable diet-related deaths of African Americans every year, half of those being from heart disease, the others being from certain types of cancer, from stroke, from hypertension, diabetes, obesity. So these are all preventable or largely preventable deaths. So absolutely plant-based diets can prevent and reverse these conditions. And that's what I want people to understand. Even if you're an omnivore, someone who eats meat and dairy, if you just start increasing the amount of plant-based foods that you eat and decreasing the amount of meat and dairy that you eat, you can decrease your risk of heart disease by 40% just by adding more plants and eating fewer animals. So this is absolutely the healthiest thing that you can just start doing now. Everything makes a difference, even if you start 2 to 3 days a week eating plant-based meals. It makes a huge difference.
Now, why is it that a lot of our people are not taking this advice? It's because they're not informed or they just don't care?
Well, you know, there are, as of 2012, this is the latest study that was done, there are 3 million African-American vegetarians, which includes vegans. So that's 6% of our population. That's a large percentage that are already eating healthful plant-based foods. And then, you know, I learned about veganism from Dick Gregory and then how to do it, immerse myself in a Black community. So there have always been a low-income Black community at that. So we've always been eating this way. There's been a small stream of folks for generations that have been eating healthy plant-based foods. We're actually pioneers in this movement, right alongside Black people who've been eating, you know, the standard American diet and soul food. So this is definitely a part of our culture and always has been. So that's the first thing that I want to stress. We've always been doing this. There's 3 million of us doing it now. And the other thing is that then the other factor is that a lot of us are just not informed. We think that we haven't heard this information before in the way that speaks to us, you know, that somebody is actually targeting us and with this information and trying to get it to us specifically. Food industry advertising is a $40 billion a year industry, and 70% of that advertising is advertising junk food, processed food, refined foods, meat and dairy. So we respond to this advertising. It's obviously working because this is the majority of food that most Americans eat, Black folks included. So in the United States government, the USDA promotes the food industry. So while they're promoting all of this unhealthy food, they're supposedly telling us what's healthiest to eat, but they're always going to tell us to eat meat and dairy because their job is to promote the food industry. So we're not going to get the straight deal from the USDA. So we've got to get it from other sources. And, you know, we have to seek out these sources. Now, I will say that nowadays when I talk to people and tell them that I'm vegan, they've heard of veganism, they've heard of vegetarianism, they know somebody who is. So after the first, well, where do you get your protein question, the second thing they say is, well, I don't eat that much meat. So the paradigm is shifting. Everybody is eating healthier. No one says I'm eating more meat than I used to. They're all saying I'm eating less meat, right? You seldom hear somebody say that. So the shift is happening. And it's just, so I'm really happy about that. I've seen this change in the last 30 years. So people will say, oh, well, I could never be vegan, but I do want to eat healthier. And that's the start. Most people start there. I started there wanting to, you know, eat healthier, reading about it after the lecture, becoming vegetarian and then becoming vegan. So there's steps to be taken.
Very good. Now, do you personally know of case studies where people were cured from heart disease, diabetes, and even fibroids just by changing their diet to vegan?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I personally know of people who have had this happen to them, but also there are abundant studies that show this. Dr. Dean Ornish is a pioneer in this. There are the Seventh-day Adventists are the longest-lived people in the world. And Black Seventh-day Adventists have been eating vegetarian and vegan for decades. And they're some of the longest-lived people in the world. So absolutely, this what I would suggest people read in addition to my book is the China Study by T. Colin Campbell, which talks about how to use plant-based diets to actually prevent and reverse chronic diseases. There's just so much information out here about it. So it doesn't need to just be anecdotal, although I do know people who have, you know, changed their lives, cured diabetes by eating healthy plant-based foods after reading my book. People who no longer have heart disease, people who've lost weight, all of that, because it's not magic. It's not, you know, it's not rocket science. It's just you're eliminating cholesterol and most of the saturated fat and the sugar from your diet, and you're eating foods that are high in fiber and have zero cholesterol and loads of other nutrients. So you're naturally going to lose weight. You're naturally going to unclog your arteries, and, you know, you're naturally going to lower your blood sugar. So this is just what is going to happen when you eat a healthy whole plant-based diet.
So it's just a byproduct of just changing the way you eat.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what happens. Yeah. And that's why I tell people that it's really, once you start eating this way, you are naturally going, you know, you're naturally going to lose weight. You're naturally going to get healthier. My mother is a prime example. My mother started when she was in her 50s, right? She became a vegan with me. She is now 78. She'll be 79. She has no chronic diseases whatsoever. 79 years old. Nothing. She still has the same weight and figure that she had when she was in her 50s.
Wow.
And of her 13 siblings, of the ones who survived into their senior years, she is the only one who does not have chronic disease. And both of her parents died of chronic disease. I never met them. They died before I was born. But she is the only one who does not have chronic disease. She exercises 6 days a week, at least an hour, and she eats a healthy, whole, plant-based diet. That's the difference.
Amazing. So if someone were to say, well, you know, diabetes runs in my family, or heart disease runs in my family, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to get heart disease because your parents had it. Am I correct?
That is absolutely correct. And it is not a death sentence. It's not inevitable. That's just an issue of lifestyle. They ate what their parents ate. You eat what your parents eat. You eat what your circle, culture, community eats. And, you know, genes can load the trigger. I'm sorry, genes can load the gun. This is the saying. I need a better metaphor, but I haven't found one yet. genes can load the gun, but it's your diet that pulls the trigger, right?
Mm.
That's the deal. So if you eat a healthy diet and you exercise and you relax so that you're not stressed, then you have a very low likelihood of getting any chronic disease at all, despite what types of genes that you may have inherited.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, my next question is in regards to Black women who, I would say most Black women I know love having their curves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you be a vegan and still have that curvaceous figure that African-American women are known to have?
Yeah, right. And that's why I have And Look Fat, P-H-A-T, in the subtitle of the book, because that is a question that a lot of people have. You know, will I lose my figure? And you won't. You actually will keep your figure, and you will lose weight and tone down, slim down to what your natural curves actually are, right?
Right.
So again, my mother has a 37 inch figure.
Oh.
She had it in her 50s. She has it at 78. Still vegan. So
wow.
Exactly. And, you know, fortunately, I have inherited some of those curves and still have them, you know, in my hips. And that's just, you know, that's always going to be there. That's never going to go away. What I don't have to worry about is, you know, having chronic disease and becoming overweight and obese because I eat a healthy diet. So I'm going to have my natural curves for the rest of my life.
Okay, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know. I agree. Yeah. And you know, 50% of 80% of Black women are overweight. 50% of us are obese. And that's beyond our natural curves, right?
Yes.
And so
yes.
Our views tend to be skewed when we see a Black woman who is not overweight, we tend to think of that person as skinnier or thinner than they are, because our view is skewed towards overweight and obesity, because that's the majority of women, right? But the norm, the natural, is for us to be on the more slender side, right? And still have our curves.
Huh. Very, very good. Good point. Good point. Now, as you know, I am the president of Body Scope of New York. Our focus is on improving the lives of children by promoting healthy lifestyles and fitness and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend a vegan lifestyle for children as well?
It's the best start for your child. It's the best thing that you can do for your child is to start them on a healthy plant-based diet. Absolutely. And not only in terms of health, setting them up to be healthy and not even to ever get chronic diseases, right?
Right.
Let alone reverse them. But also, studies show, which I talk about in the introduction to my book, that children who are vegan have higher IQs and mental development than their omnivore counterparts. So
Wow. You're
actually helping your child to be smarter and more mentally advanced when they eat a vegan diet. So absolutely, this is the healthiest start that you can have for your children, that you can give your child. My youngest niece is 9 years old, and she's been vegan all of her life, thankfully. And I'm happy for that, because she's being set up to have a long, healthy life, because she does not have to even deal with obesity or overweight, early childhood onset diabetes, any of these things. You know, studies show that children's arteries can be clogged as early as 10 years old based on the food that they're eating. She doesn't have to deal with that. She won't have to deal with that. So, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. You know, I can talk to you forever, Tracy, because you have so much information to give out and so much important information to dispense to all my listeners. But now, I understand you're a speaker and you teach nutrition seminars. Where are your seminars and lectures conducted?
all over. I mean, I've taught in all over the country, particularly when my book came out, and I also teach internationally. So I have a new book that will be out next year, and I'll start going on the circuit again more seriously. And now it's just, you know, I just pick and choose where I want to speak. You know, before my book came out, I've been teaching this for about 20 plus years, mainly in the Washington, D.C. area and the New York region. And I was doing it all over, from churches to universities. So I've just been, you know, doing this a very, very long time. And now I just kind of, you know, pick and choose where I'm going to speak. But if people want to find out, they can just go on by anygreensnecessary.com and keep up with me there.
Okay, great, great. Now, when you do come back to the New York area, please let me know.
I will definitely do that. I was actually just there last March doing a talk at CUNY. No, I'm sorry, Medgar Evers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not that far from there. That's excellent. Okay. That's excellent. But where can my listeners get a copy of your book, Tracy?
Well, the book is available everywhere in all bookstores, and if they don't have it on the shelf, just ask them to order it. And it's also in libraries, or ask them to order it at the local library. And, of course, you can get it online as well, Amazon and, you know, all of those online venues.
Okay, and where do you recommend my listeners go to find out more about you, Tracy McGirta?
I recommend that they come over to my website, by anygreensnecessary.com, and sign up for my weekly newsletter. And they can learn, you know, they can keep up with me that way. And I would love to welcome them to the family.
Now, what's next on your bucket list?
Next on my bucket list, period? Wow. I'm working on my second book. And so that's next on the horizon, another vegan book. But, yeah, I love to travel, Vince. And so I'd like to get to Hawaii and do a series of talks there with the Hawaiian Vegetarian Society. So hopefully I'll be doing that this year.
Ooh, that would be awesome. That would be really nice, Trace.
Yeah. You
know, now, what about social media? Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah, definitely. I'm on Facebook. By Any Greens Necessary is my Facebook page, and we've got over 6,000 folks in that community, in that family. So definitely check us out there. I'm on Twitter. I have more than 4,000 followers on Twitter. And where else am I? On YouTube, and I'm just getting into Instagram and Pinterest. So that's to come in the next couple of months.
Excellent. Now, on Twitter, are you Tracy McGirta? Is that your
At By Any Greens.
Mm-hmm. By Any Greens. I love that name, though.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I was just searching, like I said, while I was searching for the name of the book, I was looking, I just started writing down famous quotes by Black people that I just remembered. And
yes,
when I came upon By Any Means Necessary from Malcolm X, of course, I was like, that's it, By Any Greens Necessary.
That's a home run.
Thank you.
It really is. Now, is there anything else you would like to share with my listeners before we let you go?
Well, I just want to say that I'm really, you know, I'm inspired by the work that you're doing with children and getting children started early with fitness. And health and nutrition is so, so important. And they love it at that age.
Yes.
It's not a chore. It's, you know, it's something that they're thrilled about. They get into, they look forward to. And so I just think it's awesome that you're doing that. I actually did work here with DC Public Schools, teaching kids from pre-K to high school, and their teachers and their parents, about plant-based eating. And I have to say that the kids were more receptive than the parents.
Huh.
And so it was the children that were leading the way for their parents, you know. And so I just think it's really wonderful and crucial to start with the kids. So I just want to say I hope that people will participate with your fundraiser, get involved with your organization, and keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And on behalf of BodyScope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeks.com or call me at 718-346-5852 or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care and bye-bye.